Okay, Shem Yishmuel, Parshas Kisavo, Tafshin Ayin. Hey. Let's start on page 2. Last week's Parsha ended with Amalek. And we know that everything that's negative in this world, all of evil in this world, is rooted in the Midos of Amalek. And everyone knows that the defining trait of Amalek is Krirus, is coldness. The Chose of Lublin, we have some of his writings in a sefer called Zichron Zos. We also have a sefer called Zos Zicharon. Zichron Zos, Zos Zicharon. This is from the Zichron Zos in his writings to Parsha Zachor. And he describes that Amalek, even though we think of Amalek in terms of their coldness, Amalek representing the Yitzhar comes in various forms. Zachor es asher asalacha Amalek, in the bottom right hand corner. Dinei shamati b'shem ha-rebi. Isha Elokim, Rav Dov, Mezritcher. I heard from the Maggid of Mezritch. Sha'amar, on the one hand, you have a pasuk that says, Hoy kol tzamei lechu l'mayim. Anyone who's thirsty, come to the water. So what do you see? Nikra ha-Torah mayim. The Torah is compared to water. Upam ksiv, elsewhere in the Navi, you find, Halo kod devrai ke'esh nul nashem. My words are like fire. So is Torah like water, is Torah like fire? You find midrashim, Torah's like oil, Torah's like wine. But the Maggid of Mezritch wanted to understand, you have on the one hand, if you're thirsty, come to the water. On the other hand, Hashem's words are like fire. It says the Maggid, ki yishnei yitzarim. There are two types of yetzer haras. The yetzer hara comes in various forms. Ha'echad hu mechamim es ha'adam la'aveira. Sometimes the yetzer hara tries to get a person hot, passionate to do an aveira. Va'echad hu mekarer hu mashlich atzos ala adam. Milakayim ha'mitzvos. And at other times, the Yitzhar comes in just the opposite form. He tries to make you lazy and disinterested in the fulfillment of mitzvahs. So we know that Torah is the antidote to the Yitzhar. Well, we need to have different types of Torah to respond to the various forms of the Yitzhar. When the Yitzhar tries to get you hot for an Avera, so how do you fight back? Says the Navi, come drink the cooling waters. Cool yourself down. Val Makarev, when the Yitzhara tries to keep you cool, when the Yitzhara says, stay in bed a few more minutes, the Yitzhara says, you could say Slichos, Ad Chatzos, but you know, you'd be so tired, maybe that's a good Chazrut. Right, but very often the Yitzhara gets very smart when he comes up with these very interesting Svaras. When he's trying to cool you down, and he's trying to find ways for you to do things in the less authentic way. So when the Yetzer Hara comes at you with his coldness, Ksiv ko devrai ke'esh no Hashem. That's when Hashem says, my words are like fire. And fire yourself up to serve me, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'nevadai l'chamim hu lashon... l'chamim hu l'hamon am. When it comes to heating oneself up, that's how the Yetzer Hara gets most people. Most of the time when the Yitzhar gets us, he gets us to become passionate about things and to do averos with passion. However, Masha Enkin let tzadikim, a tzadik who's in control of that Yitzhara, v'amei chulam tzadikim, we all have an aspect of tzadik, lo shchiach kol kach l'chaim l'avera, a tzadik, a person who's conquered the Yitzhara. So what's there for him to work on? He doesn't give in to his silly taivas anymore. He doesn't get heated up for nonsense. The second type of Yitzhara is true even about the biggest tzaddikim. Even the biggest tzaddikim have to find ways to constantly turn the coldness of Amalek away and to strengthen themselves, to fire themselves up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kamo she'amru Chazal, Pishpish v'lo matza yidlo b'bitol Torah. Kizeh matzoik kol zman shelo nimcha Amalek. Because as long as Amalek is still around, there's going to be the spirit of krirus, of coldness, that hovers over the world. V'nei ra'isi b'sefer HaKadosh told us Yaakov Yosef she'medak teik tamid she'yushaychim kol ha'mitzos b'chol z'man v'chol adam. We know that every mitzvah applies at all places at all times. Torah is eternal. Ki hu olam katan, man's a miniature world. V'heich shayach mitzvos mechiyas zara shalom malik v'chol adam. So how do we do the mitzvah of mechiyas amalik? And the last week's parsha, how do we do the mitzvah of mechiyas amalik at all times and all places? V'chein me'inyan bilam halo ha'torah hitmidus. Right, when we think about what Bilam tried to do to Klal Yisrael, that's also eternal. Every letter of the Torah is eternal. So how do we apply it today? Where it's underlined, V'yesh lomar ki Yitzhara, Hagorim atzos umakarer nikra amalek. The Yitzhara that causes us to be cold Jews is called amalek. And that is relevant at all times. Maybe it's even more relevant now The coldness of a malik might be even stronger now. The laziness, the lack of interest in being passionate about our Yiddishkeit is maybe easier to come to now than even in the times of a malik. And therefore he says, a malik is a lashon of what? Am lashon gachalim omemos. Coals that are dim. Coals that are dim. A hot coal that's lost some of its shine, some of its heat. Aydezat luck. Amma lake. Right? Am a coal that's dimming. Lak. What does that mean? Ki yored umesis ola umastin. That it's through that coldness, that kriyas, that a malik is able, right, to prosecute against us. Lak, to strike at us. Or to lap us up, right, to lick us up. Al king ksiv vayavu amalik berfidim berifun yadayim in atok. So that's how last week's parsha ended. The importance of fighting against the spirit of Amalek, the coldness that even the greatest tzaddikim struggle with. If you go back to page 1, the Shem Yishmael in this week's parsha continues along the very same theme. We're getting ourselves ready for the days of Vidoy. A lot of diburim to be spoken with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the coming days. And in this week's parsha, right, already being merames to this Indian of Vidoy that's coming up, we have the mitzvah of Vidoy Meiser, which we spoke about yesterday. By Vidoy Meiser, a person declares, I paid up all my debts in the Meiser cycle, the 3-year Meiser cycle. I declare that I'm paid up. Lo avarti mitzvosecha. I didn't violate your command. Velo shachachti. What's the velo shachachti? We spoke about it yesterday a little bit. Says the Shem Yishmuel in this week's parsha on the right hand side on page 1. Velo shachachti. Perish Rashi. I did not forget, Rashi says, I did not forget to make a bracha when I was separating my maestros. Okay. Why would I have forgotten to make a bracha? You do a mitzvah. You did the mitzvah and you made the bracha on the mitzvah. It's not like a big deal. You remember, I put on tefillin this morning and I forgot to make the bracha on the tefillin. What's the velo shachachti? Very strange. V'tmua, the brachos derabanan. And furthermore, aren't brachos that we recite before a mitzvah, isn't that a din derabanan? So the velo shachachti of the Torah probably is not talking about making a bracha. So he says, I heard from my father, Avnei Nezer, who brought in the name of the Shalos and Chuvos, Rimigash, the Kayal Birchas Shechianu. You find in Rishonim already that what's the Velo Shechachti? I didn't forget to make a bracha. Ah, but brachos are derabanan. Yeah, but there is a bracha that maybe is being hinted to here that's deraisa. What bracha is that? The bracha of Shechianu. That is referring to Birchas Shechianu. So apparently, you see from this pasuk, Velo Shechachti, if it's a bracha, apparently the bracha of Shechianu might have its origins in the Torah. It's alluded to in over here. What's going on? Says the Shem Yishmuel. Kavanas advar ki ikra mitzvah hu achios vasimcha uchukas adam lemitzvah. The essence of the mitzvah is what? Is your excitement for the mitzvah? Why? Da'inu shu ose a mitzvah bipnimiyas halev. V'alkeinu mishtokek masai tavo liyado a mitzvah v'yasena. When will the mitzvah come my way? Because I'm eager to do this mitzvah. V'chein amar akasuf. And Bilam as well noticed about us. Hen am kilavi yakum v'ka'ari yisnasa. Says Rashi, the Jewish people wake up early in the morning, they jump to grab mitzvos, chotvin mitzvos. V'zeh mor al godla ashtokikos la mitzvah. V'zeh lo nimtza eitzel umas ha'olam. And Bilam says, I see something unique by the Jews. It's not just that they do things. Right? But hopefully, a Jew who's serving Hashem properly is constantly thinking, how can I do it with more excitement? How can I do it with more energy? Says the Shem Yishmuel, where it's underlined. V'alkein birchas shechiyanu. Therefore, some of the Rishonim say, what bracha could this possibly be referring to? The specific brachos of each mitzvah were instituted by the rabbis. What bracha do we find by many mitzvahs? Right? That maybe has its roots, its origins in the Torah itself. It's the bracha of Shechianu. Why? Because the Shechianu, the way you recite the Shechianu. Am I really happy that this season has arrived? Am I excited for this opportunity? When I say this bracha, as I enter into my sukkah, as we hear the shofar, am I really excited? Do I feel shechianu v'kimanu? Think, wow, I made it to hear the shofar again. I made it to sit in the sukkah again. I made it to come to Yom Kippur again. Uvezeh yuvan ma'amar mzal, he says in the bottom paragraph. And now we can understand that Chorban Bayis Sheni was caused by sinas chinam. Ulechora, halo b'kosum mefurash tachas sher lo avarata. The pasuk says, all of the klalos in this week's parsha, which we said yesterday from the Marashah, the Tochacha of Kisavo refers to the Bayis Sheni period. It tells us in the Tochacha, why are all these things happening? Because you didn't serve Hashem with joy. The Pasuk doesn't say, because you had Sinas Chinam. So why do Chazal say in the Gemara in Yoma that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, where the Torah says explicitly, all of these things are happening to you because you didn't serve Hashem with joy. Says Hashem Yishmuel so beautifully, the two are connected to one another. The joy a Jew has when he fulfills mitzvos will impact his relationship with other Jews. Why? Top of the left column. Really, every Jew is really just one Jew. The bodies that we each travel around in, our neshamas travels in, separate one another. But if you do a mitzvah in a deep way, if you do a mitzvah in a way that encompasses all the Jewish people, if we're all focused on the neshama, the goof of the mitzvah is separate. I hold my lulav, you hold your lulav. But the neshama of the mitzvah is one mitzvah. The same way that all of Klal Yisrael is one neshama, is all one goof in the broader scheme of things. And therefore what? When a Jew does a mitzvah b'slavus, with simcha, he taps into the inner essence of the mitzvah. Which means he's living through the inner essence of himself, which means that there's not me and you. It's just one Klal Yisrael. And therefore, says the Shem Yishmul, the Chazal are telling us, how did Sinas Chinam come about? How did it come to be that there's you and there's me and there's a third guy and there's someone else? How does that happen? It's when Jews are living superficially. When the mitzvahs are not coming from a place of pnimiyas salev. When it doesn't have that unifying factor that holds all of Klal Yisrael together. When it comes from the heart, that there's a yichud. Keep it pnimiyus al meimechad, because with pnimiyas we're all one. And he concludes by quoting from Rav Moshe Leib Sasifer. He says, again, I heard from my father, in the name of Rav Moshe Leib Sasifer, Madua machlas minias asimcha, magia onesh gadol kolkach. The question that bothers every one of us when we read the Tochacha, we're literally reading about a Holocaust, and then a Pasuk Mem Zayin along the way, it's, oh, by the way, if you're curious why Hashem made this Holocaust, right? I was at Stern yesterday giving a shiur. I was checking out the new. I was sitting in the library for a few minutes, and I was looking at the new Judaica releases bookshelf, and there was a book called, right, Why God Made a Holocaust. So I said, first of all, that's a pretty bold thing to write a book, as if you have the definitive answer for why God made the Holocaust, right? But we have it in this week's parsha. Hashem's describing the Holocaust, Kipshuto. And in the middle it says, I'll tell you why. You want to know why all these things happened to you? Tachas Hashem avadatas Hashem lokecha b'simcha, because you didn't serve God with joy. Hashem made a Holocaust because we did mitzvahs, we just didn't do them with so much excitement. Says Rav Moshe Leib Sasser, why would Hashem bring such a punishment merely for a lack of simcha? Ula nizkar le'el, but based on what we've explained, says the Shem Yishmuel, Yuvan, we can understand. When a Jew spends his time being a Jew, but looking bored, he's doing things by rote. As ein a mitzvah nechsheves kol kach. If the essence of the mitzvah is to be excited about the mitzvah, that means if you don't do it simcha, then you're not doing the mitzvah. So it's not that Hashem looks down and says, wow, Jews are doing mitzvahs, they're just not so excited about it, and I'm going to punish them for that. Hashem looks down and says, if you're not excited about it, then you're not doing the mitzvahs. And if you're not doing the mitzvahs, you're not following my commands, okay, then Hashem punishes. But it's not that you're missing an aspect of the mitzvah, you're missing the essence of the mitzvah. The shechiyonu of the mitzvah is the essence of the mitzvah. Yeah, Rav Jojo.
Wait, how can you say that you have to be excited over every mitzvah,
let's say people don't know the meaning of mitzvah, they just do it. Why do you have to know the meaning to be excited about it? I'm playing devil's advocate. Why do you have to know the meaning? All I know is that the creator of the universe asked me to do something. You got a call from Lahavdil, right? Someone you may not even like very much. The President of the United States of America. Maybe you like his policies, maybe you don't like him. But if you got a call from the President of the United States of America and he asked you to do something, right? Even if it was like a weird thing, you didn't exactly know why he wanted you to do that. You would feel so honored simply because he's telling you to do something. So when we say, well, you know, I'm not so into the mitzvah because I don't understand the mitzvah. All you need to understand is Kasher Tziva Hashem, that Hashem commanded you to do it. He's the king in charge of everything. And he has asked you to help him out with the job. That's pretty exciting. If you stop and think about that, that's a pretty exciting thing. But I want to show you a second Shem Yishmuel on page 3, where again he comes back to this question. And I always refer to this, and I know I've shared it with some of you in the past, as the NTSY Shabbaton Shem Yishmuel. Why? Let's see. In Parshas Lech Lecha, he also asked the same question. You didn't serve Hashem with simcha, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the most horrible punishments on Klal Yisrael. How does that make sense? So he explains the following, you saw it on the right hand side. The Gemara says
Maseches Sota, Rashi brings it, Chumash, on the Pasuk, Vayishlacheu me'emech chevro. That he was sent, who was sent? Yosef was sent. Yosef was sent. The whole process of Yosef and the brothers, which led to Golis, which led to Mitzrayim, which led to everything in Jewish history, it all began, Vayishlacheu, he was sent me'emech chevro. From the valley of Hebron. What's Rashi's problem with this pasuk? Hebron's not a valley, so what's the Emek Hebron? Says the Gemara in Sota, Be'itza Muka Shalosu Tzadik HaKavar B'Hebron. Sent at the advice of the Tzadik, the deep advice, the Emek of Hebron, the Omek of Hebron, the depth of Hebron means the deep advice of the Tzadik who's buried in Hebron, of Avram Avinu. Says the Shem Yishmuel, think about what it was like to be Avram. Think about that moment when Avram first discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he knew it was real. He knew this was it. Now, think about that in contrast to the life that he had been living up to that point. You look at the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. The Rambam says, interestingly enough, that Avram Avinu worshipped idols. When Avram was young, he worshipped idols. That was his family minhag. He worshipped idols. He worshipped idols with his parents, with his family. You know, we don't think about that. We think Avram, no, Avram always had it. Even if you go with the Shita, that he found the Kadosh Baruch Hu at 3 years old, Avram was born into a home. And Avram ate not kosher, and Avram worshipped idols, and Avram did the things that his family did. And then Avram discovered Kedusha, and he discovered Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now think about that contrast. Think about what that was like for Avram, right? Coming from the world, when he realized that whole world of idolatry was falsehood, and now he found something so real. Avram was mamish on fire. But Avram was worried about something. What was the Emek? The Emek Chevron, what was the deep advice of Avram? When he says that again, the sending of Yaakov, of Yosef to the brothers, which would lead to the sale of Yosef, which would lead to Golis. That was all Avram's plan. What was Avram's plan? What was Avram's fear? Avram's fear was, I grew up in such a home, of such tuma, that when I discovered Kedusha, it was so gavaldic. But what's going to happen? Now Yitzchak's going to grow up in a frum house. And Yaakov's going to grow up in a frum house. Right? And a frum house, and a frum house, and a frum house. And what's going to happen over time? Jews are going to take it for granted that they're Jewish. And they're not going to appreciate mitzvahs anymore. And they're going to turn into robots. So what do you do to get out of that? How do you shake a person? How do you get a person to wake up when he becomes on autopilot? Because, you know, my parents are religious, my grandparents are religious. Right? What do you do? What do you do? You take it away from them. Avram's advice, which put into process, Yosef being sold, put into process the concept of Golis, all of that, is out of a chashash that if a Jew becomes too sleepy, the only way to wake up, the only way to appreciate mitzvahs again is to take it away. That's why you had Jews in the Holocaust who were irreligious people prior to the war, who became very passionate Jews during the war. That all of a sudden, a Pesach, they had to have matzah. When they could have had matzah all this time, they weren't so interested in matzah. Now all of a sudden, they were so interested, because when they take it away from you, when someone tries to take away your prized possession, it makes you stop and think. You appreciate what it is. Says the Shem Yishmuel in the left paragraph. In the top left paragraph. Right? In the second column. About 7 or 8, 10 lines down. He says, now you understand why in the Tochacha. This is again, the Shem Yishmuel in Lech Lecha. But he's commenting on a pasuk in this week's Parsha. Now you understand why it says in Dvarim Chavches, Tachas Asher Lo Avadatas Hashem Lo Kecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Levav. And the Mepharshim ask, he just quoted Rav Moshe Leib Sasser, many others ask. We all ask when we read the pasuk. How could it be? Eich b'shvil minias ha-simcha yegilem onesh gadol kol kach. Such a crazy punishment for a lack of simcha. Says the Shem Yishmuel a different answer over here. What was the first answer? The first answer was that simcha is the essence of the mitzvah. So it's not just that you were missing an aspect of the mitzvah. You don't have simcha, you miss the whole mitzvah. But here he gives a different answer based on what we just explained. He says, Achla nizkar le'el yuvan. Shagolus eina ba bikar la'onesh. Golus isn't a punishment. It's not you didn't have simcha, so I'm punishing you. That's not fair. My lack of simcha doesn't seem to equate to the heaviness of the punishment. Golus is an unfortunate reality. There's no other way for me to shake you up and to wake you up other than to put you through hell, to then come out of there and say, oh my gosh, look how much we had lost in appreciation for what we had. Hashem takes it away in a very harsh way. And that way, when you get it back, you come back to it with a tremendous excitement. La nizkar le'el yuvan. Sha'agolos ein haba bikar la'onesh. Golos is not a punishment. Raki eitzam me'rachuk. It's the advice of Avraham Avinu, who feared that Jews would become stale once we got used to Yiddishkeit. La'agdil ha'tshukah v'slavos. Why do I call this the NTSY Shabbaton? Shem Yishmuel? Because it's that public school kid who's experiencing Shabbos for the first time. And he's mamish on fire. Right? And you're thinking, I do Shabbos every week, and like, you know, it's okay. Some Shabbos, some are better than others, right? But not every Shabbos feels like the life change, and it should. Shabbos is more important than Yom Kippur. Violation of Shabbos is more severe than Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur comes once in a while, so we're fired up. Shabbos comes all the time, we get used to it. Avraham Avinu says, I'm not going to let Klai Yisrael get used to it. If you start getting used to it, you know what I'm going to do? Hashem says, not a punishment, it's just a metzias. The only way I can get you back into it is to take it away from you. And that's exactly what happened here. V'alkein kasher lo avdu es Hashem Yisbarach v'simcha v'ayinu shelo aysav v'odasam v'tshuko v'eslavis v'alkein ba ha'golos lachzir melchek aviyam shoh shamayim. Golos comes to wake us up and to give us a chance to fire ourselves up again. So what's the mashmos of this Shem Yishuol? That if a Jew always stays on fire, then what? He doesn't need Golos. And that's what he writes in the last paragraph. And like I told you last week, Shem Yishuol speaks to you. Al derech avoda. It's a beautiful hesber, the Gemara in Sota, of the Kavan of Avraham Avinu. A puzzle in this week's parasha. But at the end he says, Tachlis, what does this mean for us? Chaver, practically, what does this mean for us? In the last paragraph, Achol Eile, the second to last paragraph on the page, but the last one that's boxed off, where it's underlined. Achol Eile bimniskara davar etzel adam v'chaser alo chiyus bavodas Hashem ispa. This only has to happen if you're a cold Jew. Aval ashrei ha'ish she'ineno tzarech she'tisoretz lo ha'tshuka yidei menios v'dechiyos. But praiseworthy is the person who Hashem doesn't have to cause you to lose your tefillin to start appreciating, oh my gosh, what a schus it is to have tefillin in the morning. And Hashem doesn't have to put you in an environment where you're not able to do mitzvos, to appreciate mitzvos again. To keep that original excitement that Avram felt, again in that contrast of his father's home. And he concludes, as he says, as is well known, the Maimer of the Yira Kadosh. The Yira Kadosh was called the Yira Kadosh because Shebechol Yom Vayom Hu Le'umas Yom Etmol Ke'erech Yehudi Lenachar. He was called the Holy Jew of Peshischa. Why? Because he says every day, from one day to the next, it was as if yesterday I was a Gentile compared to where I am today. Because I'm growing, and because I'm getting more connected, I'm getting more excited. I'm not allowing the passage of time to cause me to become stale. In the Ayala Shlucha, Na'ayel HaShlucha, in this week's parsha, he brings from the Rebbe of Zidichov. He brings from Rav Tzvi Hirsch Zidichov, explaining another pasuk in this week's parsha. And it's such a beautiful idea, because every line of the Tocha can really be turned into a bracha if you have the right perspective. He writes on page 4, Na'ayel HaShlucha was the son of Rav Shimon Yaroslaver. So he quotes from the Rebbe of Zidichov, on the pasuk at the end of the Tochacha. What does it say? Where it's boxed off in the second line. On the pasuk, Bavoker tomar miyitein erev, uv'erev tomar miyitein boker. It's going to get so bad, says the Torah, that you just can't function. Wherever you are, you just need to be somewhere else. The days are so bad that you say, I wish it would be night already. And the nights are so bad, you say, I wish it would be morning already. That your whole life is so messed up from all of the terrible klala. But says the Rebbe of Zidichov, there's a bracha here as well. There's a positive spirit of when it's boker, I wish it was night already. When it was night, I wish it was morning already. Look what he said, it's so sweet. He said, what's ba boker tomer miyitein erev? What's the day when a person says, when's it going to be nighttime already? You know what that refers to? Erev Pesach. On Erev Pesach, right? Not just because there's nothing to eat, because you're stuck in that limbo period, right? But because you're so excited for the mitzvah achilas matzah. You walk around all day saying, Be'erev tochlu matzos, when's it going to be Erev already? I'm so excited for the mitzvah. Mishtokek la'agia lel shimurim. What's uva Erev tomar miyitein boker? And at night you're saying, I can't, when's it going to be, when's the sun going to come up already? I wish it was morning already. When is that? He says, Zeh lel sukkis. Ki adua me'erav ha'kadosh. Who's he quoting here? Who's Mibad? The Berdichever. The Kedushas Levi. As is known, well known, from the holy Berdichever. The Berdichever could not sleep on the night of Sukkot. How he got the mitzvah of sleeping in the Sukkah, I don't know. It's an interesting shaila. But he was up all night. Why was he up all night? Machmas ga'aguim lagia is mitzvos nitilas lulav. The Berdichever was pacing all night in his sukkah, waiting. Is it morning yet? Can I pick up my lulav and esrog yet? Can I be b'kai in the mitzvah? That's how a Jew has to live his life. That when the mitzvah is just around the corner, I'm like at the edge of my seat. I can't wait. When am I going to have the opportunity? When's it going to be night so I can eat the matzah? When's it going to be day so that I can take the lulav? I really wanted to put something in this week's packet. I wanted really last week. I didn't get a chance from the Tasha Rebbe. The Tasha Rebbe who just passed away. The Tasha Rebbe from Canada. So I have a little sefer, the Avodas Avoda from the Rebbe of Tush. And he tells a story about the Berditchever that goes hand in hand with this Maisa. He says that the Berditchever on page 5, he writes by Parshas Bo. The Tasha Rebbe writes that the Baal Kedusha Slavim Berditchev, Hayabor Bislav Satsuma Bioma Kadosh, Velav Dafka Beist Philos of Akadoshim. The Berditchever on Yom Kippur, needless to say, you can imagine, he probably literally looked like he was on fire. Elaaf Shalobashasa Tfila, Vechola Laila. Can you imagine? The Berditchever believed that every Jew could go into Kodesh Kodashim. And he lived that way. And he spent the whole night learning and thinking and being Osek in the Indian of the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol. He was walking around all day, Kielu, he was the Kohen Gadol. Mamish tapping deep into the Avodah of the day. Pam Karo, Shebemotze Yom HaKadosh, Achrei Avdala. One year, it was after Yom Kippur, it was after Avdala. And all of a sudden the Berditchever started screaming in Yiddish, I don't even know how to pronounce this word, but he basically started asking for something to eat. Right? He said, I'm starving, give me... I don't... Anyone know what this word is? Avram? Who's Avram? What's this word? Darkvakanish. A who? Darkvakanish? What is that? Knish. I see the word Knish, right?
Dark Knish.
He would work so hard on Yom Kippur. The poor man was starving. The Heilige Berditchever was so hungry. So he said, give me a dark vekanish. I don't know. We got to find out what that means. So what did they do? Hey, v'yolo litum mizonis. So they gave him... The Rebbe wants a kanish. They gave him a kanish. They gave him a dark vekanish. I don't know what it is. They gave him some mizonos. And he didn't want to eat. He said, no. He said, but I'm so hungry. All right, give me this, whatever it was he was asking for. So they brought him some other food. Below Ho'il. He wasn't interested. So someone finally said, the Rebbe's hungry, the Rebbe's hungry. After all day, he's so hungry. Yom Kippur's over, the Rebbe's hungry for sukkahs. They brought him a Gemara, sukkah. V'amar al raglav, and the Berditchever stood by his shender, v'hissel limon mitchilas ha-masechta at sofa v'meshach ho'alayla. The Berditchever spent the whole night learning masechta sukkah from cover to cover. U'v'zeh shava nafsho v'kirbo me'avodah sayom. And then he was able to finally... catch his breath, and maybe by breakfast, he actually had a knish. Right? But that whole night, he was eating, he was gobbling up the beautiful words of Meseches Sukkah. And that's how a Jew has to live his life. A Jew has to be literally jumping on the edge of his seat. When am I going to get the opportunity to do a mitzvah? One of my favorite pieces of Torah I'm about to share with you in the next source. I wanted to share with you the proper way. I didn't have a chance last night with the photocopying to show you inside. What I'm going to show you is actually brought... I'm showing it to you from the Margolius HaShas. Margolius HaShas is a Likud Sefer on the Masechtos of Aaron Perlow, a relative of the Novominsky Rebbe, related to Weinberger in a marriage with Perlow, so he's related to this Machaber, who puts out a lot of Svar. So he wrote these volumes on Shas, these Malachim, very, very beautiful Torahs. But the truth is, what we're about to see is already found in very mainstream Svar. Rabbi Akiva Eger, in his Drush V'Chiddush, you'll see in a second why, but Rabbi Akiva Eger's Drush V'Chiddush, which is not, it's called Drush V'Chiddush, but it's not a Drush Sefer, right? So Rabbi Akiva Eger's Lamdis, in Maseches Shabbos, in the first volume, he has this conversation there, but you need to know the background to the conversation. Again, there are better Maamar Makomos if you wanted to really see how this story unfolds, but I'll give you the short version like this. Rabbi Akiva Eger had a grandson, whose name was Rav Leibel Eger, who became a chassid. And when he was a young boy, he used to learn with his grandfather, and he quotes him sometimes, in his writings, in Shas. Listen to what happened. Amazing discussion. Ben Azai, for those of us who were together a couple years ago when we learned Maseches Shabbos, if you remember, Ben Azai has a shita on Daf Hei in Maseches Shabbos that a person who is mahalech, a person who's walking, is ka'omed dami. And therefore what? Take a look. Bayamim Eilu, by the first arrow. Nochach Hasav, the Saba, the grandfather, Rabbi Akiva Eger, liros gam betuchunas hanefesh hanalos shel hanechad. He saw the great, brilliant mind of his grandson. We're on page 6. Uvelamdu imo bin yonihotza v'havar b'Shabbos. They were learning Maseches Shabbos. They were talking about the prohibition of carrying on Shabbos. We know that when it comes to Ochel Shabbos, you're not allowed to transfer from one Rishus to another Rishus. Additionally, there's a separate prohibition of what? Of being ma'avir dal amos b'Rishus HaRabim. If you carry something for amos in Rishus HaRabim, even though you didn't go from one Rishus to another Rishus, but if you move something four Amos in Rishus HaRabim, for Amos is also considered sort of its own Rishus, that's a violation of carrying on Shabbos. That's a form of Hotzah or Havara on Shabbos. So they were learning Masechah Shabbos. And the following question arose. You see where it says, HaYerushalmi? Right after it's a little bit bolded. HaYerushalmi makjel shitos ben azai. A question on shitos ben azai. Chaver, follow this because it's so gishmak. Ben azai holds mahalich ka'omei dami. Which means what? Which means that every time you take a step, right, it's as if you stopped. Even though your body looks like you keep moving, you're moving. Right? But ben azai views every time you take a step, you put your foot down, it's as if you stopped. So the question is, according to ben azai, and the Yerushalmi is bothered by this question. Tosos on Masechah Shabbos Daf Hey. Again, if we would have seen the Maror Makomos more properly, you'd see the sugya develop. But the question at the end of the day is the following: according to Ben Azai, every time you take a step and you put your foot down, it's as if you stopped and then restarted again. So what's the question? So according to Ben Azai, how do you ever have Mavir Dalet Amos Brishos Sarabim? Every time you start Akira Hanacha, you stop and then you start again. So you never have. It's impossible, according to Ben Azai, to go for Amos in Rishus Rabim. Ain't all the Mischaiv al Dal Amos Rishus Rabim la Olam. Right? The Yasa Kimisha Honcha, I'll call Amava 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 Yiftar. That every time you take a step, it stops, you start, you stop, you start, you stop. How do you ever get, according to Ben Azai, how do you ever walk four Amos at once? Umitari te Yushami, Mishkach Asla Bekofetz. How do you do four Amos at once? Four Amos is anywhere between 6 and 8 feet. You can jump. You can jump in one leap. And in such a case, that is, according to Ben Azai, the violation of going four Amos versus Saram. Because if you take a step, every time you step, it says if you stop and start, stop and start. Yeah? So here's what Rabbi Akiva Eger brings in the Drush V'Chiddush, in the old print, it's in the first volume of Chafav Amud Aleph. He asked the following question. He said, according to this, why can't you blow shofar on Shabbos? What's the concern? Shema, what's the concern? The language of the Gemara. Shema yavirenu dalet amos brishos harabim. Maybe you'll come to carry the shofar for 4 amos brishos harabim. But according to Ben Azai, it's good. It's nice to like see where this, when people start to smile, that they know it's about to happen. According to Ben Azai, the only way that you're in violation of ma'avir dalet amos brishos harabim is if what? Is if you're jumping. That is such a far-fetched thing. That why would they make a gezeirah against using a shofar on Shabbos? If you look in the Kovetz on the Rambam, it's a commentary on the Rambam, in Hilchos Megillah, says that maybe Ben Azai doesn't hold to the gezeirah. Maybe Ben Azai would allow blowing shofar on Shabbos. We don't normally assume that way, obviously. So what else can we say? So, you know what? Kiva Eger quotes. He quotes it in the Drush V'Chiddush, B'Shem Chacham Echad. And I've heard from people who are in the know that Chacham Echad is a reference in that particular case to his grandson of Leibla. He said, my grandson gave me the following answer. It's not at all far-fetched. When a Jew has the opportunity to do a mitzvah, you better believe he's jumping down the street. You better believe he's literally flying down the street. And to make it even one step sweeter, Chevra, what does Ben Azai say in Pirkei Avos? Look at the Pnei Menachem, the Ger Rebbe added by the second arrow. The Pnei Menachem of Ger said, it's Ben Azai l'shitaso. The Ben Azai holds that the only way, right, to actually what? To be in violation of going down Amos at once, if you're literally jumping down the street. That same Ben Azai says in Maseches Avos, what? Ben Azai says, have a ratz l'mitzvah. A person should be running to do mitzvahs. A person should be jumping to do mitzvahs. It's Ben Azai, it's that enthusiasm. It's not at all far-fetched. Chazal made a gzeira. You can't blow the shofar on Shabbos. Because you might come to carry it 4 amos Rishus Rabim. According to Ben Azai, what's that gezeira? That gezeira is built on the fact that a Jew is going to literally be jumping down the street, carrying that shofar in his hand. And therefore Chazal had to say, it's inappropriate for a person to blow shofar on Shabbos because of that chashash. Unbelievable piece of Torah. No? Good? I think it's pretty good. What separates a tzaddik and a rasha? What separates a tzaddik and a rasha? Jojo, I have your approval. Shkaya. What separates a tzaddik and a rasha? Sounds like a silly question. What separates a tzaddik and a rasha? Tzaddik and a rasha are worlds apart. What are you talking about? And yet you find a very strange medrash. On page 7, the Shem Yishmuel quotes a medrash. Va'aretz haisa sohu vavo. Says the medrash, the world was tohu. Take a look on page 7. Shem Yishmuel and Parshas Bereishis. I'm just showing you that this is a theme he has in many, many parshios. Eilu ma'asein shel rishon. Vayom relokim yihior. Eilu ma'asein shel tzadikim. Nu, chever, what's happening here? The world was desolate. That refers to the actions of the rishon. And then God said, let there be light. That refers to the actions of tzadikim. Okay. Then the Medrash goes on. and says, Vayavdel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated between the light and the darkness. Good, Hashem separated the Rishonim and the Tzaddikim. And then the Medrash says a very strange thing. The Medrash says, Medrash concludes, Shem Yeshua brings it about six lines in, Misayim ba aval ein yodea be'ezamem chafetz in b'maisa'elu. The Medrash concludes, but we're not sure, does Hashem prefer the actions of the Rishonim or the actions of the Tzaddikim? So the Pasuk finally says, Vayal kim esa'or ki tov, Hashem likes the actions of the Tzaddikim better. What a weird Medrash. The actions of the Rishonim, the actions of the Tzaddikim, the Choshech and the Or. And then there's like this suffix, I don't know, what does Hashem prefer? Hashem puts them apart, they're in two different groups. Which team is Hashem going to join, so to speak? Does he enjoy the actions of the Tzaddik or the actions of the Rishonim? Hashem prefers the Maseim Shel Tzaddikim. As if we had a Havamina that Hashem prefers the Maseim Shel Rishonim. And another pshat in this Medrash. Very strange. So he says, I heard from my father the following. Do Rishonim always do bad things? Some Rishonim only know how to do bad things. Sometimes a Rasha also does good things. A Rasha once in a while will do a good thing. So what does Hashem do with a good deed performed by a Rasha? Says the Shem Yishmuel, quoting his father again, two lines from the bottom. He says, I heard from my father, the holy Admor, the Avnei Nezer, Omar, Ma'aseyim shel Rishonim hainu ha'maisim ha'tovim shelhem. The Ma'aseyim shel Rishonim doesn't mean obviously the bad. Of course Hashem doesn't choose the bad things they do. But what does Hashem do with the good things that the wicked people do? Va'yisal k'daitach lomar shebehem od chafetz yoser v'asher tzvichem k'fiyas ha'yitzer hara. You might think that when a Rasha does something good, you know what? That's very impressive. He's a Rasha. It's hard for him to do good things. He did a good thing. That might be something that Hashem desires very much. Kamash Malan, says the Medrash, then no, Hashem still prefers the mice of a tzaddik. Why? If the Rasha has to fight off a Yetzirah to be able to do that good deed, why does Hashem prefer the mice of a tzaddik? V'li nira by the arrow. Lahosiv od dvar. The mice of a Rasha, even though he conquered his Yetzirah, is still Choshech. Why? He worked so hard. Because the Rasha, even when he does a good deed, but he doesn't do it the way that a Yid does a good deed, it doesn't have that same or, that same sweetness. That's why the Medrash refers to the good deeds of the Rasham, they're still Choshech. They're still left in the dark. He quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Ne'er Rishayim Yid'ach, which means that the flame, the lights, the Maisim Tovim of a Rasha Yid'ach will what? Will flicker out. They don't last. Why? Because they don't have the energy to drive them forward. What's the energy that drives our mitzvahs forward, Chavra? You can do a lot of Maisim Tovim, but they could be Choshech, Chas V'Shalom. Says the Shem Yishmuel, where it's double underlined. Uvezeh tochas magula. Kama tzarech ha'adam lizar b'maisav atovim b'to raso v'tvi laso shu b'or v'slavas. Make sure that if you do good deeds that are done 100% right. And that means with simcha, with islavas. V'shalo yeh b'chlau maisei arashan. It shouldn't be chas v'shalom. That the things that you're choosing to do, the good things that you're doing, are done with what? Without islavas. Because then your mitzvahs are left in the dark. They don't have the ability to rise l'mala, he says. So a Rasha might be able to do good things. But again, without this lavas, it's like a malach without wings. It can't fly up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It can't be presented to the Melech Malchei Amlach. A toldos of a person. The Maisim Tovim of a person. The produce, the fruits that we're trying to create in this world. Right? We know that the mitzvahs and Maisim Tovim that we do are called toldos. Turn the page on page 8. The Shem Yishmol and Parshas Noach. Right? And Eila toldos Noach, says Rashi. Toldoseim shel tzaddikim maisim tovim. The good deeds of a tzaddik are his toldos. Says the Shem Yishmuel, why dafka tzaddikim? The good deeds of a tzaddik are his fruits? What about the good deeds of a regular guy? He's not such a tzaddik. That's not a fruit? That's not an offering? That's not a tolda? Says the Shem Yishmuel, in the left column, T'chol adam nami ma yisron b'chol amalo im lo mitzvos maisim tovim. Wouldn't we say about a regular person, what good are his efforts? If not to attribute his mitzvahs and maisim tovim, aren't they called his love and lo nikron nami toldoso? Why aren't they called your toldos? When a regular person does a mitzvah, why only are the mitzvahs and maisim tovim of a tzaddik? Eila toldos Noach. Noach was a tzaddik, the Torah says. Why is Noach's fruits more chashiv than any other person? Says the Shem Yishmuel again, the same Yisod. Vinira, the Kamo HaToldos HaGashmi and Baim Mehergesh Kol Eivarim. The same way. It's such an interesting thing he's saying here. We'll use sensitive lashon. But the same way that the whole body is nana, the whole body is involved in the act of producing a child, right? That the body, all of the Eivarim, feel when the child is being created, when there's an intimate moment between a husband and wife. Kol Shein Gufo Margish Ve'Eivar Meis Eino Molid. Right? Until the body becomes aroused, it's not able to produce a child. So too in Ruchnius. The same way that the creation of a child in Gashmius has to come about through a certain arousal of the guf, so too the creation of a child in Ruchnius, says the Shem Yishmuel, comes about from an arousal of the neshama. Keinami b'Ruchnius ein ha-mitzvos ha-maisim tovim nikram toldos. You can't produce real mitzvos ha-maisim tovim. You can't produce children, so to speak, spiritual children. Ela geshenasu b'ra'usa d'liba. Unless there's, again, there's a feeling, a ratzon of the heart, uvez achdus kol achushim, uvechiyus, uveslavs. The only way to produce spiritual children is, again, if a person is fully involved. How does a person feel? Let's talk tachlis for a second. How does a person feel? How does a person feel when he has a patur from doing a mitzvah? This is a good way to assess yourself. If the halacha allows you a certain dispensation, or if you have a good excuse why you can't come to shir, how does that make you feel? I'm not upset. All the time guys don't come to shir and they have good excuses. Right? I don't think I've ever gotten upset. I never yelled at someone and said that you're a horrible person, you need to come to shir. You have a big chemistry test? I understand. But the question is, how do you feel knowing that you can't come to shir that day? How do you feel? What's your right? This is a classic example. But what's your gut reaction when there's no tachlin? Right? That is the classic way for a person to judge his cheshek, his eslavas, or mitzvahs. When you don't have to say that, the halacha says you don't say tachlin today. But is there like this feeling of tremendous relief and tremendous excitement? Or is it, tachlin? Tachlin's when I ask Hashem, the Shemona Esrei that I put my heart into just now, that Hashem should be makabel that tefillah. I understand there's times we don't say tachlin. But am I excited about it? Am I happy about it? What's my ratzon? If Hashem asks something difficult of you, do you feel I'm excited by the opportunity? Or do I feel burdened by it? What would be the greatest example? How about a Kedas Yitzchak? Hashem comes and asks Avram something very difficult. Avram very much could have performed the Kedas Yitzchak with a heaviness of spirit, and that still would have been a tremendous thing to sacrifice his son. And yet Avram, even in the most trying of situations, was still filled with his lavas. Says the Shem Yishmuel on page 9 and 10. Parshas Vayera. Inya nisayona akeda. Einenu masha asa b'maisa tzivoy Hashem Yisbach. The impressive part about the akeda, the same way we saw the impressive part of all mitzvahs, the shechiyanu that you make, the impressive part of the akeda was not that Avram was prepared to do what Hashem said. Kizeh einenu kol kach rabusa. If God talks to you, and you know He's really talking to you, so of course you can do the same. Ki b'yadu yisbach nefesh kol chai. V'im lo yakrivenu hu harbe shluchim l'makom. If Hashem says to Avram, listen, you either give me Yitzchak or I'm taking it myself. Okay, so I'll give you Yitzchak. What choice do I have? So that wasn't the impressive part. The willingness to sacrifice Yitzchak was not so impressive. For us, we would imagine it's quite impressive. But for Avram, it's not so impressive. So what was the Nisayon of the Akedah? What was this tenth, final Nisayon that Avram had to face? Says the Shem Yishmuel where it's underlined. Ach nira she'ikar Nisayon. Haya ratzon chayil ol Avram avinu bezeh. V'lo asa kepo reya es chovo ukepoter atzmo michiyuvo. Avram didn't do it like something he had to do, like something on a checklist that he needed to just check off. Avram, despite the fact that it was an impossible task, he was so excited to serve the king. He wasn't at all burdened by his personal connection to what was being asked of him, by the emotional feelings he must have had for his own son, and the confusion, the questions he had on their bonus home. It didn't bother him. He put that all aside and bislavis vayashkim Avram b'boker to carry out the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what you have to ask yourself. When you don't have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, do you feel relieved or do you feel upset? Are you like the Berditchever who's all night pacing in his sukkah because he's so anxious to shake a lulav and esrog? Or would you rather sleep a few extra minutes and when I get up, eventually I'll get around to my lulav and esrog? That's the litmus test. Says the Chassam Sofer on page 11. When Yaakov Avinu was meeting up with Esav, they've been apart for a long time, and everyone knows the famous Rashi. Im lovan garti, v'tarayag mitzvos shamarti. Let me ask you a simple question, Chavro. Was Yaakov really able to do all tarayag mitzvos in Lavan's house? All tarayag? All 613, really? Keep in mind, this was before the Torah was even given. Right? We forget about that once in a while. The Torah wasn't going to be given for quite a number of years. Tariyah, I kept all 613. Yaakov knew about 613. Interesting. How do we know about 613? I don't even know how we know about 613. There's one Gemara in Maseches Makos. I don't know where they even got that from. Torah is Gematria 611, and we heard the first two from Hashem, 613. Okay. Interesting. No? So what's the pshat? Tariyag mitzvah shamarti. Let's assume he kept Tariyag mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah for sure he didn't keep in Beis Lavan. What mitzvah is that? Honoring his father. He ran away from his father to get away from Esau, right? So you'll say, well, he was honoring his father. His father was the one who told him to go find the shidduch. His mother was the one who told him to run away from Esau. So he was honoring his parents. Okay, you can give that answer. Beis Halevi gives such an approach. Says the Chassam Sofer in the Torah's motion on page 11. Tariyag mitzvos shamarti, lavan garti. Nira de bidiyuk amar tariyag mitzvos. I kept all 613, Esav. So Esav says, you kept all 613, really? Shivamnam kiyam akol, l'chol apachot mitzvos kibar ave eim lohayim akayim. We would at least ask, kibar ave, he wasn't with his parents for all of those years in Beis Lavan. For that 20-year period in Beis Lavan, not once did he help his parents. Not once did he take out the garbage. Not once did he do shopping for his parents. Not once. What's the pshat? Tariq mitzvah shamarti. Says the Chassam Sofer. What does shamar mean? Shamar can mean to guard. Shamar can also mean to look forward to something. Where do we have that? V'aviv shamar es hadavar. When Yosef told his father his wild dreams, his father was shamar es hadavar. He was looking forward to it coming true, Rashi says. So says Yaakov to Esav, you think that I'm not so spiritually strong. Why? Because in Lavan's house I didn't have the opportunity to do all the things that I wanted to do. Bepoel. But let me tell you something. It was against my will that I wasn't able to do those things. And you know how I felt about not having to say Tachnun and Beis Lavan? I felt terrible. You know how I felt about not having the opportunity to be bothered by my parents? I felt terrible. I was Shomar as Hadavar. I was looking forward to the mitzvah. The second I had the opportunity to do it, I'm going to do it. And therefore, I was nanas. And a person who really wants to do a mitzvah and can't, gets credit. So don't mess with me, Esav. I have all of the schus of all 613 mitzvahs. I've been waiting 20 years for the opportunity to get back to being the Yaakov Avinu that I want to be. Yes, this was part of my avoda, Beis Lavan. But don't think for a second I took my eye off the prize. I've been focused on mitzvahs. I've been tzapte. I was longing. Shamar es hadavar. Tariq mitzvahs shamarti. That every little opportunity I've been waiting for. And the second it comes my way, I'm going to take advantage of it. The shekel, one final piece of Shem Yishmur. The shekel is a remarkable koach. The Torah says you take a little half a shekel. A little half a shekel. And it can bring kapara for a person. L'chafra haf shosecha. How does such a small little thing have such a koach? So what do we know about the shekel? Says the Shem Yishua, one final Shem Yishua on page 12. He says, the shekel we know, when Moshe Rabbeinu was asking about the shekel, Chazal say, K'min matbeya shel esh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him a shekel, a fiery coin. A fiery coin. When Haman wanted to destroy, when Amalek, coming full circle now, when Amalek, which is krirus, coldness, wanted to destroy the Jewish people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and Haman recognizes, that hikdim shkalav, that your shekel beat my shekel. You beat me to the punch. What does it mean that our shekel beat out Haman's shekel? Our shekel was the shekel, the matbeah shel esh. Says the Shem Yishmur, a Jew could do a tiny thing, but if he does it with his lavas, it's the greatest shmirah. Yaakov and Beis Lavan couldn't do that much. But whatever he was doing it with passion. And whatever he couldn't do, he was longing to do. He was a Jew, he was a fiery Jew. And therefore Esav couldn't touch him. And therefore Haman couldn't touch Klal Yisrael. Says the Shem Yishmur in conclusion on page 12. By the second arrow on the left-hand side, Ulakach Amar Hashem Yisbarach, Hashem Yisbarach, Takdim Shikleim Lishkalav, Shebechol Shana V'Shana Misorah HaKorach, Hahu La'or HaAva Berishpe Eish LaHashem Yisbarach. Every year, as we fight against the Amalek, Bifrat on Purim, we have the shekel that we offer. Uvakoach Hahu His Gabri Yisrael HaHaman Yimach Shemo, and with that koach, we have the power to fight against Haman. Says the Shem Yishmul, Umeata Muvan. When a person brings his shekel, he becomes part of Klal Yisrael. It's such a small thing. How does a little shekel make me part of Klal Yisrael? The Tzuras Yisrael, because the essence of a Jew is the Mishtokekes Misprapekes Al Doda Ba'ava Kiyadua, is the longing that a Jew has, expressed by that fiery little coin that was thrown to Moshe Rabbeinu. Uvechein af im ha'adam ose kol ha'mitzvos ve'ein ha'oso son b'chamimus adayinu chutz l'Klal Yisrael. You can do a lot of things, but if you don't have that fire, you have nothing.
and you could be a half a shekel. You could be a Jew who feels, I'm a pretty small guy, I don't know how to do that much. But if you do what you do, with islamis, with passion, then a person can do tremendous things. You can fight off a malik, you can remove all negativity, and protect Klal Yisrael, and make yourself a true member of Klal Yisrael in that way. People don't realize, I'm going to give a little mussar. People don't realize that sometimes Islavus, right? Islavus doesn't have to be always an outward expressed thing. Islavus could sometimes be expressed in a very subtle way. I yell at people sometimes that you guys look too tired in shir. Right? But that says something. It says something about the way that we're learning. That if we don't have a certain body language when we're sitting in front of Torah, if we're not smiling when you hear a sweet word, that means it's not registering. That means your soul spark is not kindled, it's not lit. And a person, again, could be doing mitzvos, like we spoke about yesterday. Where you listen lit kol Hashem, but you're not listening bit kol Hashem. That it becomes entirely superficial. And the strongest example of this is the Haftorah for Shabbos HaGadol. Let's finish up, Chaver. We have 5 minutes left. In the Haftorah for Shabbos HaGadol, taken from the Sefer Malachi, Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Darash Moshe explains a very simple question. What happens in the Haftorah for Shabbos HaGadol? Hashem is very upset with Klal Yisrael. And he says to them, you're in big trouble. Va'amartem, page 13 in the bottom left-hand corner. Says the Navi, Va'amartem, ma nidbarnu alecha. Hashem, we've said nothing wrong. We've done nothing wrong. What are you upset at us about? The Navi responds, V'heshev al zeh Navi, you said nothing wrong? Amartem shav avot Elokim. You said it's totally worthless to worship God. What do you mean you said, what did we do wrong? You know what you said. So says Rav Moshe, whoa, what's this? This conversation makes no sense. If they really walked around saying, Shav Avod Elokim, it's worthless to serve the Jewish God, then they wouldn't have the audacity to say, whoa, we didn't say anything, we didn't do anything wrong. So says Rav Moshe, they weren't walking around saying, Shav Avod Elokim, it's worthless to serve God. Lehefech, says Rav Moshe, Vutmu, it's very strange. V'chiyal Dvarim Ke'elu, these words, a blasphemy, that it's worthless to worship God. Chas v'shalom, right? Yitu lomar manid barnu. Would they be able to say, what did we say? We didn't do anything wrong. There's no way they were walking around saying that, and then they were able to deny it to Hashem's face. So what actually was happening here? Says Rav Moshe on the top of page 14. Tzarech lomar. Ki vada hayu divrayim letov b'divrei musar. They were not being irresponsible Jews in the sense that they weren't being Jews. They were doing mitzvos. And you know what they were telling their children? They were telling their children, you also have to do mitzvos. And therefore, when Hashem says, I'm very upset with the way you've been educating your families, they say, Man Midbarnu, what did we say? We didn't say anything wrong. We said all the right things. And the Navi says back, no, you didn't. You said, Shav Avod Elokim. Now that catches them off guard, because they said, we never said that once in our life, that it's worthless to serve God. To which Hashem replies, you know, maybe you didn't say it with your words, but you said it in the way you were serving God. Your body language certainly was saying it loud and clear. As Moshe used to famously say, that a whole generation of Jews were lost. Why? Because people were saying to their children, Shver Tzuzayin Yid, it's Shver, it's very Shver to be a Yid. It's very Shver, it's a broken thing to be a Jew. It's very burdensome. Now these people were keeping Torah and Mitzvos, but they would say to their children, you know how hard it is to not work on Shabbos? You know how much money we lose out on as a family because of Shabbos? And the language, and they were keeping the halacha. Says Rav Moshe, Va'adai in the second line, Shinagu Kederach HaTorah, Va'amru Gan L'B'neim Sheyakaimu Torah. They kept the Torah and they told their children to keep the Torah. Mikol Makom Hayezeh HaSasa Memela. But indirectly, they were sending a message. La'asir Mishmiras HaTorah V'asiyas HaMitzvah. Indirectly, they were leading people astray. Because instead of saying what a privilege it is to be a Jew, like Rav Moshe writes in the left-hand column where it's underlined, Tzarech Lahazbir Lehefech, Ki Tova U'matana Gedola Hi HaTorah Mitzvos. Hashem chose us, Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'am V'Naslanu Taraso. Shabbos is not a punishment, so you lose a couple bucks. But you realize how lucky we are to lose those few dollars for Shabbos? It's so worth it. Says the Navi, if you're going to have a body language that expresses, we should be Jews, but it's Mesiras Nefesh. There's a story I once heard from one of my friends. That a girl was brought to the Chazon Ish. It was a shidduch that was proposed. This man wanted to know, this young bachur wanted to marry this girl. And the Chazon Ish was speaking to this young woman about the potential of this shidduch. And the Chazon Ish told the bachur afterwards, you shouldn't marry this girl. Why? What did the Chazon Ish see that wasn't right by her? This girl had grown up a little bit more wealthy. It was understood that living a certain lifestyle, kol lifestyle, would mean
making certain sacrifices. And the way that this girl described that opportunity of marrying this Ben Torah, who was a real budding, you know, Talmud Chacham, she said, you know what, I'm going to do it because it's worth it. But Mesiras Nefesh, it's worth it. And the Chazon Ish said to this Bachar, if this girl you're marrying thinks that it's such a sacrifice to live in such a way, with such a commitment to Torah, he said, that's not good. We shouldn't feel we're making such a sacrifice to be Jews. Yes, it's hard. It is hard sometimes to be a Jew. But it's worth it. It's well worth it. And therefore the Chazon Ish said, she doesn't have an appreciation for it. She thinks there's too much of a sin. She's not seeing the beauty. She's not realizing that it's a matana gedola to have the opportunity to be offered Torah and mitzvahs. However, this time of the year is the time of the year, and with this we'll conclude, where we have the opportunity to mitakin the sinim. Because if all year round, you know, it's just another day, it's a regular day in the middle of the calendar year, now we're coming to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, if we're not going to be excited about being Jews this time of the year, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, V'chulu, V'chulu, Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, if we're not going to get into it now, then we're never going to get into it. And if we can get into it now, we can mitakin the whole year. The hours later, I'm not going to read it inside, but you'll take a look on page 15, the Shem Yishmol by Sukkis. He says, we know that by a sukkah, if something's mechubar lakarka, it's puzzle. You can't use it as schach. You can't build a sukkah with something that's attached to the ground. Even though it's a living organism. It's alive, it's growing, it's a plant. But if it's still attached to the ground, it can't become a sukkah. Says the Shem Yishmol. Right? We're all alive. We all have a fiery neshama inside of us, but if we can't detach it, if we can't lift ourselves up a little bit off the ground, then we can't build that sukkah. That we can't build that bias, and we certainly can't build a Beis HaMikdash. I wanna re-offer to everyone an invitation, and I hope people will take me seriously. If you have another option, that's great. But Motzei Shabbos, you can get the information on the sign, I'm happy to give it to you. We're having Slichos. We've had Slichos the last number of years. A chevra of people who come together, and it's Mamish B'Slavos. For some people, it's a strange thing. Slichos is supposed to just be frightening and somber, and there's the pachad is there, the awe is there as well. But at the end, there's tshuva mitoch simcha, if I dare say such a thing. Tshuva is a mitzvah. Mitzvahs have to be done with simcha. That's the essence of the mitzvah, says the Shem Yishmol. To be able to even do tshuva with simcha. To not walk around during these days because they're heavy days with our heads hung low. Then we're missing something. We're missing an integral part of this whole tekufa. Says Rav Meir Premishlan in the second to last source, on page 16. David HaMelech is rebuked by Nasan HaNavi. Lam natzeach mizmor leDavid. When Nasan HaNavi came to give a musar about Bathsheba. Lam natzeach mizmor leDavid. David HaMelech was singing a song when Nasan HaNavi yelled at him, you need to do tshuva. What was David HaMelech singing about? Why was David HaMelech singing a song when he was going to do tshuva? Says Rav Meir of Premishlan in the second paragraph, right after the arrow. V'amr of Meir. Rav Meir Premishlaner Zatzal said, Yadua, ki ha-tshuva ha-mites hi tshuvas ha-mishkal. The way to do tshuva is the same way you did the Avera. You have to do tshuva. How did you do the Avera? How did David fall wildly in love with Bathsheba? You think it was a cold relationship? There were fiery feelings. Hainu lasas ha-tshuva b'simcha atzuma. Uvecheshek gadol kol kach. The same way you did the Avera with excitement? It didn't bother you to stay up late? To enjoy, you know, a certain taiva. So stay up late to enjoy slichos. Besimcha, tshuva mitoch simcha. David HaMelech, mizmor leDavid. David HaMelech was singing his way to tshuva. Nasan HaNavi was ripping into him and saying, David, you made a terrible mistake with Bathsheba. You did a horrible thing. And David HaMelech said, Gaval, the same way I was so excited to get to Bathsheba, I have to be so excited to be attacking that chayt of Bathsheba. And therefore, mizmor leDavid. David HaMelech was singing, Bevoi love Nasan HaNavi. Kaasher ba al Bathsheba. The same way that when David came to Bathsheba, the depth of the relationship was filled with energy, so too Mizmor LeDavid when Nasan HaNavi gave him Musar, that he needs to do tshuva for that same Avera, with the same excitement, with that same Cheshek. However, in the final source this week is the Yahrzeit of the Chafetz Chaim, Chaf Dalet Elul, on Tuesday. Tuesday night we have the Chafetz Chaim shir, so we'll have a Yahrzeit shir for the Chafetz Chaim. But the Chafetz Chaim said, and I'll conclude with this, the Chafetz Chaim said that we have to understand the times which we're living. If all Jews are fired up in Avodas Hashem, then it's okay to not be so fiery in Avodas Hashem. But if some Jews are walking around mamish, dead Jews, then those Jews who want to claim that they get it, so to speak, have to mamish be fiery Jews, have to be passionate Jews. And he brought a proof from a halacha we'll need to think about soon by the Dalet Minim. The Chafetz Chaim's son wrote in the Sichos Chafetz Chaim in the final page, he said, I was learning the laws of Hadassim with my father. And the rule by Hadassim is that if you have three leaves on top, that are still mamish, moist and fresh. Even if you're missing other leaves, the hadas can still be kosher. What happens if all of the hadasim are a little bit withered, that's also kosher. But if some of the leaves are missing, the top leaves, which are going to save that entire stalk, that entire hadas, have to be mamish fresh. Says the Chafetz Chaim, in a time when most Jews are like, kacha, you know, average Jews, right? So it's okay for everyone to be that way. But when you have so many leaves that have fallen off the little branch, and there's some Jews that are totally dried out, if those top three leaves, if those few leaves on top are going to save the rest of the stalk, what do you call it? Hadas. It's not a stalk, yeah? Right? If you want to save that it should be a kosher hadas, then you need to what? Then the top leaves need to be mamish moist. Mamish fresh and moist. In order to save all those ones that unfortunately are either lost or completely dried out. So Mirtz Hashem, we should be zocha. We should be moist Jews. We should be warm Jews. Like the Baal Shem Tov used to give people a bracha. We should be a warm Jew. You should shake off the kriris of Amalek. And Mirtz Hashem, we'll be talking ourselves. We'll be talking the whole world. And we'll be zocha to see, like we say on Tisha B'Av, the binyan shall esh, the third base of Mikdash, which will come down in fire. We should see it b'karav mamish.